Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He keeps the people coming back for more.
Super excited, and I might just add this, I've missed Paul Hamilton, and that's the reason I'm back.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I miss Paul too, but I wish it were under better circumstances. He joins me right now on the Wester Hotline, but let me get a few things out of the way because it is Paul Hamilton, but it is also a Buffalo Football Friday, of course, and that is brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. And of course, it is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and even though it's a Football Friday, we have Sabres to talk about because they did not look good last night. At least I don't think so. So, Paul, here's the deal. I had one eye on them a little bit. I couldn't really watch much of the game last night. And I saw the goals being scored a few times. And then all of a sudden at the end of the game, I'm reading people. And then this morning, and general consensus was, man, it just was not a good night for the Sabres. You tell me, how did this team play last night? Because it seems like from everything I read, that was not a good night.
They put in 20 minutes. But as you know, 20 minutes is not going to be enough normally to win a hockey game. And it just was, the start was horrible. I mean, they didn't even get a shot attempt for 10 minutes. He had a shot on goal, and it was just Samuelson has a horrendous turnover near the end of the period, and you leave the period down 2-0, and then you come out in the second period and you figure it out. You get the first five shots, you score three goals, you're only down a goal, you look like you've picked up the momentum, it looked like you've gotten some energy, it looks like you're back, and then 15 seconds into the third period, there's a tip-in goal, and that's that. The air went out of them, and they went back to playing horrible again. So, they didn't get good goaltending. They haven't for two games now. It was turnover after turnover after turnover. It just seems like this season, either they play really good defense and then they can't score goals, or they play horrendous defense and they score goals. But it's not enough because they give up six in two games in a row to teams that – are beatable teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're on a three-game road trip here. Yeah, you know the old saying, if you go 500 on the road and play well at home, you're going to be a good team. They still have a chance to be 500 on this trip, but I think it would be a disappointing 500. Mm-hmm. Even if they beat the Blackhawks tomorrow and take 3 out of 6 points, I still don't think people will be happy with what they've seen in these last three games. And here we are again, you know. For years now, we're changing coaches, we're changing general managers, we're overhauling the team, and brand new coach. But guess what? They're talking about the same things afterwards, which are not wrong. I mean, Alex Tuch was very honest in his assessment last night and everything, and so was Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, Tuch talking about lack of urgency, lack of effort. Where have we heard that before? You know, it was all Don Granato's fault. Get a new coach. All his fault. I'm not saying he wasn't partially to blame, but it seems like players are never blamed. It's the coach's fault. So you have a brand new coach who has a totally different philosophy, who holds players accountable. So far, Quinn's been out of the lineup. So far, Lafferty has been out of the lineup. Nothing changes. And it's just, you know, I don't know what to tell you because they've done it all. They've changed everything many times. None of the changes seem to work. I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, the new captain, they came out hungrier than us. Really? Rasmus Dahlin, you haven't made the playoffs in your six-year career. And the team's not hungry enough? I have trouble with all this stuff.
Yeah, I can see, and I can tell, and I share your frustration. I did watch Lindy Ruff's post-game press conference last night. I know that you were in there with that, and I listened to you and the questions about the defense. What is happening with this defensive core? Why are they struggling with the puck?
They shouldn't be this bad. I mean, it starts with Rasmus Dahlin. Rasmus Dahlin was drafted to be an elite defenseman in the National Hockey League. He was drafted to be one of the top one, two, or three defensemen in the National Hockey League. He's not even close. He's playing the worst hockey of his career right now. He had the injury that kept him out of training camp. It seems almost obvious to me that it's affecting his play. But even, you know, when he's not hurt, I mean, he's not one of the best defensemen in the league. I mean, the NHL Network picked him the 11th best defenseman in the league. Yeah, that I can buy. Quinn Hughes should not be a better defenseman than him. He was picked ahead of Quinn Hughes and was supposed to be much better. But if you redrafted right now, Rasmus Dahlin's probably the third overall pick behind Quinn Hughes and Brady Tkachuk. You know, and it's just, look at the teams that are good. You know, Colorado has Makar, Hedman with the Tampa Bay Lightning. You need a linchpin like that. The Sabres thought they were drafting that. And it hasn't – I still think he has it in him, but it hasn't come out yet. Even in his all-star years, he's still not one of the best in the NHL. I think there's more to give there. But I don't know if he can ever get his frustrations out of the way, because frustrations take over his game, and then he's just not there. I mean, look at the play last night. I mean, it was an easy breakout, easy, and he complicates it, gets two guys on him, gets railed into the wall, which is like a third guy, of course turns the puck over. 10 seconds or less later, it's in the net. Because he's out of the play, and now you got people running down the slot all by themselves. Puck, of course, gets to one of them, and it's in the net. It just, you know, Matias Samuelsson is just not even a shell of himself. He was a top four defenseman, and then, you know, he got that shoulder injury last year, and it's just multiple turnovers to a point that it's time to put Bryson in the lineup. I mean, he's shot. I mean, he's already taken Quinn out of the lineup. He's already taken Lafferty out of the lineup. It's time to take Samuelsson out of the lineup. He is killing them. And, it's just the last two games defensively, it's not just defensemen. The forwards are just as guilty, too. They're just totally out of sync. And still, was all said and done, look at the Penguin game. You scored 5 5-on-5 goals. You outscored them 5-2. 5-on-5. If you score 5 5-on-5 goals, you should win the game 100% of the time. 100. You should never lose if you're putting 5 5-on-5 goals in the net. But the other team had 2 power play goals. Another one was 3 seconds after a power play ended, a shorthanded goal, and a 6-on-5 goal. Well, how many? The Sabres get nothing on the special teams. Nothing. They do have 1 shorthanded goal. And no power play goals.
They're 0-for-17, Paul. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And last night is the first night I could actually say there were chances that they didn't put in the net, but they finally got it into the zone, got it worked around to get good scoring chances. Paterka had a good one-timer that was stopped. Cousins had 2 open chances from the slot. One was blocked and one was saved. They weren't getting that before, so... Really, in my mind, that was the first game where the power play actually generated scoring chances. I mean, remember in the beginning, they couldn't even get the puck in the zone in the beginning of the year, yet get set up to try to get scoring chances. So, I mean, I guess you say baby steps, but still, you are not going to win if your power play is bad. You're just not. And... for 2 games now, they haven't gotten saves, which they had been getting in the first 4 games from both their goaltenders. I think there was 1 bad goal in 4 games between the 2 of them. That was when Luukkonen got caught out of the net in Europe. And other than that, they were good. But Luukkonen, he couldn't make a big save for him. And Levi last night could not make a big save for him. And if you're going to play like that, you better have a goaltender bailing you out, and they didn't.
Paul Hamilton in the Western Hotline. Okay, you just said a minute ago, players. We have to be accountable. It's not, you switch coaches and yet things don't change. What about the special teams? Who does that fall on? What can they do? Is that on the players? Is there something coaching that they have to revisit here? Where does that go?
Well, they do have the players that they have. And, you know, it was last year. It's the head coach's power play and penalty kill. And then the assistant coaches coach what the head coach wants them to do. So what Lindy Ruff does is he sits down with Seth Appert. They discuss their ideas on the power play. And then Lindy Ruff comes up with, all right, this is what we need to do on the power play. And then Seth Appert coaches it. They've tried to mix things around with the power play. I mean, I think to myself, if you have Thompson and Tuck and Dahlin and Paterka and Quinn, I mean, Cousins is a power play machine when he's on Team Canada. They couldn't stop him. I mean, he was constantly putting the puck in the net on the power play. When you have players like that, you should be scoring on the power play. 2 years ago, they were one of the top three power plays for most of the year. I believe they finished around ninth because it slumped in March. But for the better part of the year, they were leading the league or in the top three with the same guys. And now they have trouble even getting the thing into the zone. And a lot of that is Dahlin and power. I mean, they're quarterbacking the power play, but the other teams don't have to respect them because neither one of them shoot that often. So it's like, all right, well, they're not going to shoot. We can go take care of other needs on our penalty kill because they're not going to hurt us from the point. And until they do, or until there's more than Tage Thompson that's dangerous, or J.J. Paterka that's dangerous, they're just gonna keep spinning their wheels.
Paul, the other issue with the special teams is giving opportunities. They've 21 power play opportunities to the other team. I'm looking. The undisciplined penalty the other night. You tell me. I mean, was that an undisciplined penalty in overtime by Tage Thompson? Looked like there was no need for that trip with the leg there. You know, you tell me about where discipline is with this team and taking those penalties.
Yeah, that was part of the reason Lafferty wound up in the press box. Two offensive zone penalties. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they take too many penalties, and they're dumb penalties. I mean, they're lazy penalties. You know, the guy got ahead of me, so I'm going to hook him. You know, or, you know, they don't take care of their stick. And next thing you know, there's a high stick. They're not trying to high stick anybody, but you still have to be responsible for your stick. You know, you're down a man against Los Angeles, a game that you've basically dominated. It's tie game. And Samuelson decides to slash down on the guy's stick and snaps his stick. That's a penalty every single time. That has to be called. There's two penalties that are probably going to be called in that spot. That one, three penalties. A high stick with blood or the puck gets shot out of the arena. That's it. Otherwise, it's your fair game. You want to cross-check somebody 55 times in front of the net, go for it. They're not going to call it. They're not going to put you down two men. But you do that, and you smash the guy's stick on a slash, off you go. 5-on-3 for the Kings. You lose the hockey game because of a stupid penalty.
Paul Hamilton, Paul, you were in Columbus last night. Did you happen to see the Goudreau Memorial? What's the vibe around, you know, the organization? I know they had a really, really touching tribute in the home game earlier in the week, leaving the left wing open and the 13 seconds off the clock. But, you know, you were there last night. What was that like?
Yeah, it's a beautiful memorial, and they've done a great job. I tweeted out a few pictures from when you come in. They have, you know, a picture of Goudreau on the entrance as you come in near the front door, and, you know, his lifetime, and they have a banner, you know, also honoring him and the former owner who has also passed away. Number 13 is behind both goals in the concourse. They have the memorial, which is extremely well done. So Johnny Goudreau will never be forgotten in Columbus or in that arena, and nor should he be. And they've done the best they can with it. You know, I can't imagine what Monahan's going through. I mean, the reason he came to Columbus is his best friend was playing there. Yeah. They had a great chemistry together in Calgary. So he signed as a free agent to come there, to play with him on the same line. And then this happens. I can't even imagine what he's going through right now. He, you know, the families are very close, you know, and, You know, I'm sure the Monahans grieve for the Goodrows also. And I just, as I said, I can't imagine what he's going through.
All right, Paul. Tomorrow, Sabres at Blackhawks, 8 p.m. We're expecting, I would think, UPL in this type of situation. Would that be pretty accurate? Do you know yet?
Yeah, Levi did nothing to say, you know what, let's break the
right
back and forth. Now, had he committed maybe 39 out of 40 saves and won the game, maybe he does get the start. But they've been alternating. They've been good until both their last starts. You know, both of them had two starts and both played well. So I think they just stick with – my guess is they just stick with the alternating. They're not practicing today, but we'll see them at the morning skate tomorrow. And my guess would be Luukkonen would get the goal. We'll see if they make a change on defense and put Bryson in the lineup. We'll see if Quinn gets back. And like Kulik scored, by the way. I mean, he's been close.
That was a positive last night.
Yeah, he's been close.
Yeah.
And he did get a goal, so – maybe Jack Quinn's going to have to wait his turn now.
Let me ask you about Jack, because there have been a lot of chatter, a lot of online stuff, some metrics, some numbers, how much you want to dig into that about his skating, and it just does not seem to be quite where it needs to be. In fact, pretty far off from where it needs to be. Have you noticed anything like that?
Yeah, it's, you know, the Achilles was over a year ago, yes, but you wonder, does that take someone's speed away from them somewhat? What I really notice are the turnovers. He's always been a very smart player, and it just doesn't seem like he's making good puck decisions here. Now, in the game, when Lindy Ruff talked to him in the win against Florida, all of a sudden he was shooting the puck. He had one shot in the first three games. I think he had three shot attempts in the first 5 minutes of that game. And if he continues to do that, he'll score goals. He's an elite shooter, so he's got to be shooting the puck. But, you know, he's in a funk right now where, you know, he's making bad puck decisions and he's obviously frustrated with it, and that makes it worse. And then he makes worse puck decisions. So we'll see if him maybe taking a breath, being out of the lineup. And as I said, with Kulik scoring, I don't think it's guaranteed that he's back in the lineup against the Blackhawks.
All right, Paul. At PM 1717, of course, WGR550.com. Have a great weekend. We'll look forward to your reports tomorrow.
You too. Take care.
All right. That is Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Of course, Paul Hamilton, whenever he comes up on WGR, is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be our guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax. We got this. Okay. Let's take a look briefly at this weekend in the NFL. We have a few minutes here, and then we'll get to Pat Hammer coming up at the bottom of the hour for the weather in Buffalo and in Orchard Park for Sunday at 1 p.m. That's when the Bills take on the Titans. In the meantime, last night, Broncos all over the Saints 33-10 to start the week. And then Sunday, 9:30 a.m., another London game. We've got another London game at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time. Patriots and Drake May against the Jags. This is that Jags back-to-back thing. And, you know, I have no idea what to expect with the Jags. After Drake May, nice debut last week, some three touchdown passes, but the Jags are there all week. Patriots are going over, like the Bills were last year. I still think the Jags should win this game, but man, I have no idea what to expect from them. Seahawks at the Falcons. This is a Seahawks team that started off so hot this year. They were 3-0. Now they're 3-3. The Bills get the Seahawks next week in Seattle. And the Falcons, they've kind of turned their season around here after a couple of tough losses early. They've won three in a row. They're 4-2. I like the Falcons offense. I think the Falcons are going to be there right in the NFC South mix and race. I picked them to win the division. Didn't look good after the first couple of weeks, but now it's starting to look a lot better. Seahawks at Falcons at 1 p.m. Bengals at Browns, the post-Amari Cooper version of the Cleveland Browns. They need a win badly. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is in any danger. He's a two-time coach of the year. He's done a great job, but it's not going well in Cleveland right now. Now they get a Cincinnati Bengals team that just is trying to get off the mat themselves. I mean, for both organizations, for both teams this year, 2-4, 1-5, not where either expected to be at this point. Texans at Packers. Root for the Packers if you're a Bills fan, because yes, if the Bills are going to be in this race in the AFC, I know the Texans beat the Bills. They got a leg up on them already. They're a tiebreaker on them. But you still want to try and give them some losses. Let's see what the Texans do in Green Bay against Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, who are coming off two straight wins. And, of course, the Texans, they're 5-1. They're coming off three straight wins, including one against the Bills. And then they just beat the heck out of the Patriots last week, 41-20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
24. Really good game. That's one of the games of the week here. Texans at Packers, 1 p.m. in Green Bay. Dolphins at Colts, still another week or two away, one game away. They have one more game, 2 weeks, because of a bye week, for Tua Tagovailoa's possible return. He could return against the Bills. He's not returning this week. So the Dolphins travel to Indy to take on the Colts. We'll see if Anthony Richardson plays in this game. He's been kind of questionable all week, but it's trending towards him playing, despite the fact that Joe Flacco's looked really good. Their head coach, Steichen, says it's still going to be Anthony Richardson's team, and he's the quarterback when he's healthy. I think the Colts should win this game. I wouldn't be stunned if the Miami Dolphins do, but I think the Colts should win this game. They seem like the better team in a better situation here, playing at home at 1 p.m. Lions at Vikings, super big NFC North matchup. Very good. This is combined 9-2 with these records, folks. Lions 4-1. Vikings 9-1. Vikings 5-0. They have a bye week they're coming off, right? I mean, boy, could the Vikings go 6-0 and take real charge there over the would it be charge, I guess? Let's take a look at the NFC North standings. Every team has a winning record. It's going to be a battle there. Vikings 5-0, Detroit 4-1, Chicago 4-2. But, man, it'll be a huge win. This is a really great game. Lions at Vikings at 1 p.m., and obviously no Aiden Hutchinson anymore for the Lions with that terrible, terrible leg break last week. Eagles at Giants. Eagles need a win for their coach, for them, against the Giants, who they are better than. But the Giants, nice couple of weeks here, starting to turn things around a little bit. They've won two of their last four. They're playing better defense. They've not given up more than 20 points in the last four games. This is a game where I think the Eagles should win, but it's the Eagles and the way they're playing and the inconsistencies, and the Giants starting to kind of get a little bit better here, it feels like. You never know what happens in New York. Raiders at the Rams. Raiders can't really find their way. Rams, I mean, they're 1-4. They can't either. They're really, really banged up. Did I hear Tre'Davious White is a healthy scratch now for the Rams? He's actually not even playing?
I know he was last week, but he's again.
Well, I mean, I don't know about this week. I'm saying he has been. He was last week, right?
Yeah, he was.
I didn't even realize that last week until I heard that.
I think that was the first week, though. I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah. So what I'm saying is he's become a healthy scratch now, right? And obviously not going well there. But this is Vegas. This is two former L.A. Raiders. It's Vegas Raiders now against the Rams. Bills play the Rams later in the year. I'm not sure what they're going to be at that point. But, you know, I would think they beat the Raiders, but the Raiders are just a yo-yo. You never know what you're going to get from them. Panthers at Commanders. Panthers were a really nice story for a week when Andy Dalton came into play, but, man, their defense is just horrible. 38, 36, 34. They've given up 47 in week one, and the Commanders with Jaden Daniels look fantastic right now. Commanders should take care of business here. Probably a high-scoring game, though, between these two teams. Chiefs at Niners, rematch of the Super Bowl. Chiefs coming off a bye. Andy Reid, one of the greatest all-time, if not the greatest, coming off a bye. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I think the San Francisco 49ers, I'm going to pick them to win this game. This is a Super Bowl rematch. I've been waiting for this game. I know it's coming off a bye with the Chiefs. I just don't love the Chiefs' weapons on offense right now. I think the Niners are going to have a plan for them. I'm going to pick the Niners to win this game. But, of course, it is the Chiefs, and they certainly could. Jets at Steelers. This is your Sunday night game. Boy, what is going on with the Steelers quarterback situation? Who's playing quarterback? Justin Fields. Did he even say yet? Has he announced officially yet? Do we even know? He has not done that. Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. We know he's playing quarterback for the Jets. We also know that Davante Adams is going to be there. Jets at Steelers. Big, big, big monster game for the Jets to try and keep pace in the AFC East and the AFC overall. If they lose this game, 2-5, I mean, where do they go? And then the Steelers, they can afford a loss, but they really need to keep pace and do what they're doing in the AFC North, because I don't think they're what they're doing is sustainable. But, man, that defense, if they can get after Aaron Rodgers, they have a great chance to win this game and go to 5-2. Ravens at Buccaneers Monday night. Chargers at Cardinals Monday night. We'll talk about both these games on Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. In the meantime, let's take a timeout here. And, of course, we have to take a break. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples. We'll be back in a snap. The official apple of the Buffalo Bills. It is a Buffalo Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio with you. Great Friday. Great Friday. Always in a good mood on a Friday, heading towards a good weekend. Looks like good weather. We're going to get with Patrick Hammer in one moment. But first, I want to tell you, Sean McDermott's also meeting with the rest of the Buffalo media right now, just at his weekly radio interview about, half hour ago or so, a little bit more than that. But he's meeting right now, and a couple notes with them, in addition to what he said with me. Ed Oliver expecting him to play, and James Cook as well, as long as we knew that, though, you know, because he's been a full participant, looks pretty good. Asked him about that. But Ed Oliver on track to play. And noteworthy, he says Tyler Bass will be their kicker on Sunday. Tyler Bass will be the Bills kicker on Sunday. So anybody thinking about elevations or somebody else kicking, doesn't look like that's the case. I mean, you could still elevate the new kicker and have Tyler Bass kick, but that's what Sean McDermott said. All right, we'll take it now to Patrick Hammer, who joins me for a look at this weekend's weather on the Western Hotline.
Break it down.
We love Hammer Time here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline. Well, Pat, we got through a few ugly days earlier this week in Buffalo, but I think things have been trending pretty well this week.
Yeah, and a quick little recap, for just 20 seconds about the wind you guys had at the game
on
Monday night in New Jersey. And I know that wind was a concern, and as it turned out, it really played a role with the missed field goals and extra points. We got to believe that wind had something to do with that, right? But it goes to show you that even a swirling wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour can really cause issues. And I remember you texted me before the game, and you're like, it's really windy right now. And I checked, in the airport there, right close to the stadium, had a wind gust of 50 miles an hour. So my point is, the wind did die down, and it wasn't as bad as it, you know, was earlier before the game. But boy, it still played a role in the kicking game.
No doubt. It was a bit chilly, man. Down in the field, I will tell you, that's the one thing. People are like, oh my God, it's a lot colder. I think the wind chill had to be pretty bad, because it wasn't like super cold temperature. But I'm telling you, in that stadium, down in the field, the wind chill got pretty bad, Pat.
Well, yeah, it went from mid-60s that day down into the low 50s. And you bring in a wind, no doubt. There is definitely a wind chill. Something we're not going to have to deal with this Sunday, that's for sure.
All right, well, let's get to it. Looks like, from all indications, a nice weather pattern for this weekend. You tell me. And I also kind of want to take a look at this particular time of having a game and having this kind of weather and how nice that is in Buffalo.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I heard you earlier say it's been a month since we've played at home, and the last time we had a 1 o'clock home game was over 6 weeks ago. Hard to believe. And the weather on Sunday will be better than that day, which we played the Cardinals at 1 o'clock.
I was wondering that. I said to Yana, my wife, they go to the games, my wife and son, I said, I think it's going to be warmer this Sunday than it was for the Arizona Cardinals opener in September.
Yeah, it will be. And a lot sunnier. I think that day saw a little bit of clouds late because it rained the next day. But anyway, this Sunday looks, I mean, you can't write a better script for not only having great weather for tailgating and for play, but also showcasing for the audience who may be able to tune in. I mean, it's going to be a wash in bright color, and you got it's just going to be a perfect, perfect afternoon.
I love it.
Sunshine, a kickoff temperature in the upper 60s. We probably hit 70 in the first quarter. There will be a little bit of a breeze. okay? A southwesterly breeze, 10 to 15. You'll probably see the flags blowing a little bit at the top of the stadium, but it should not be an impactful wind at all. But there will be a little bit of a breeze, but full sunshine, absolutely beautiful.
Okay, good, because Joe DiBiase, he was in here, you know, leaving his show, and he said, hey, I thought I saw maybe some higher wind gusts maybe on Sunday. I said, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, is that passable?
Yeah, there will be a breeze, okay?
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to be gust, certainly not what you had at MetLife right. on Monday. But it's, you know, you have a sunny, warm day this time of the year. That kind of condition can sometimes breed a wind in and of itself. So there will be a breeze, but I just don't think, could there be a 20-mile-an-hour gust? Yeah, there could, but I just don't think it's going to have much of an impact on Sunday's weather at all.
All right, so I have the official game book forecast from week one. Okay, yeah. At kickoff, officially by the NFL, at kickoff, it was 61 degrees with 20-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah, there we go. So,
oh my gosh,
we're already better than September 8th, right? And here it is going to be October 20th. Think about that.
No doubt about it. What are we looking at for the beyond that here in Western New York? So we have a nice weekend coming up. What about into next week?
Yeah. So, and then we're going to quickly peek at Seattle.
Yeah.
So this weekend looks stellar, both Saturday and Sunday tailgating for the early risers. You're in the 40s early. 50s, 60s, and then, of course, game time around 70. Monday, Tuesday looked fantastic. Tuesday, we're in the mid-70s. It's not uncommon to have a stretch of warm weather mid to late month. It happened actually last year, leading up to Thanksgiving, leading up to Halloween when it actually snowed. But we had a weather pattern like this a year ago. It's going to be gorgeous through probably the first part of Wednesday. Wednesday, we're back in the 70s, but we finally get a little bit of rain Wednesday afternoon and then into parts of Thursday.
Seattle, always a challenge to pick that Seattle weather prediction, right? I mean, I can imagine like what meteorology is like in Seattle. There's this you know, narrative, I guess, that it's always rainy or cloudy. But, I mean, is that true, and is it going to be like that next week when the Bills go there?
Well, first of all, we average 60% more rain in Buffalo than Seattle, just so you know that. Seattle does get a lot of cloudy, damp days, but it is not as wet as you think, meaning their yearly rain total is not as high as you would think, partly because you have this big mountain range in the way. The Olympic Mountains kind of block a lot of the moisture off the Pacific as those storms roll in. But there's a lot of cloudy and cool days, and of course a lot of rainy days too. And this is the time of the year where it starts getting wet in Seattle. And I will say it's way out there, but the long range charts are pointing, at a chance of rain a week from Sunday. It'll be midday Sunday their time.
Yeah.
The way though that stadium is set up, having used to live there, what is it, Lumen Field? It's got this really nice overhang on both sides, even though it is open air, and it's got a north-south face. Or opening, I should say. So storms that come off the sound, the rain is often blocked by the configuration of the stadium. So it can be pretty wet and not have a huge impact there, but the wind can certainly swirl in there too. But right now there is a chance of rain for the Seahawks game, Bills next Sunday.
Well, here's the good news. All Sunday games pretty much coming up, right? I mean, like, we can talk on Friday, and I don't have to ask, hey, what's it like, you know, in 3 days, and they play on Monday night. So you have a little bit better handle the Sunday games. Now, granted, some are West Coast, a couple 4:25s in there, 4 p.m.s, but it's pretty much all Sunday games, which is great. And I also, before you go, want to ask you about this El Nino. Is it La Nina? No, it's the La Nina, right? It's the weak La Nina. I don't know. What am I reading here about the long word, what we should be paying attention to as far as the long-term forecast?
Okay. If you use that as a gauge, winter weather has got a couple of variables, but the La Nina, El Nino, La Nada, whatever, does play a role. And this year, we're looking at a weak La Nina, which is very – I'm going to give you just a couple bullet points here. A, if you look at all the weak La Ninas, if you use that as your only guide, more of those winters have been colder and have been snowier than average. There have been outliers. There have been mild La Ninas, and there have been snowless La Ninas. But I'm just going based on historical averages. And I will say this, the setup is eerily similar to 2022, where we had a weak La Nina, we had a relatively mild winter with two major exceptions. And of course, that was the winter that brought us the November crazy snow and then, of course, the blizzard. Do those events repeat themselves? Not necessarily, but the weather pattern has just got a similar look where, okay, the overall winter may not be the coldest ever, but there could be some crazy events thrown in there.
Pat, thank you for the very nice report for this weekend. You are everybody's favorite person. They all love you when you come on and give those kinds of reports. Just want you to know that.
Glad to do it. It's finally nice to have a 1 o'clock game to talk about.
No doubt about it. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Bye-bye.
You got it. Patrick Hamer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up your Friday Extra Point show and head to the weekend. All right. Thanks a lot to Paul Hamilton. Thanks a lot to Sean McDermott for his weekly Friday interview as well. You can hear all of that on demand, WGR550.com. Thanks to you for listening all weekend long. And yeah, we have Sunday games now coming up, right? So we'll have McDermott every Friday giving us an injury report. Everything's kind of back to routine after all the different primetime games and different days of the week and things like that. We have Sabres Live coming up next after the Extra Point show here, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point show. And then it'll be One Bills Live show with the Bulldog at 3 p.m. here on WGR. Did you see how Twitter/X is changing the block feature?
I did. I don't like that. Like,
what are we doing?
A block is supposed to block.
I don't want. I get it. Like, so basically, if you block someone now, they just can't read your tweets. They don't see it at all. Can't like interact with you. The way they're gonna make it now is after whenever they do this is, you can block someone. They can't interact with you, but they can still read your tweets. I mean, I don't know. There's still gonna be. You know what's gonna happen? I can tell you exactly what's gonna happen. They'll just take screenshots. And this person, and you know, whatever. However, it's just.
But like,
what
why?
Are we doing?
I don't understand like the point. Like,
I don't block a ton of people. I do block some. I have close to 190,000 followers and probably like 200 blocks. I don't think that's a lot.
No, that, and a lot that's of it like is a very low. Ratio.
A lot is very as much spam than anything, like spam or fake account, a fake Adam Schefter. I'm like, I have to block it so I don't get tricked.
I've gotten tricked before.
Yeah, so I do that. Had to block someone today because every time I have an uncomfortable conversation with a caller, they tell me how angry of a person I am, which is just stupid. So I decided I'm just tired of you. So I just blocked you. So anyway, either way.
That's what it's for. It's for like when you just like every social media has a block feature and they're all the same. They all work universally together to say, hey, if you don't want someone to see your stuff, press this little button and they'll go away.
Yeah. And like, I don't know when they're rolling this out, but I saw that come across and I didn't love it for sure. So tomorrow, Sabres, 8 p.m. Against the Chicago Blackhawks. Of course, we'll have that game for you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm assuming the bet 15-20 tomorrow for UB against Western Michigan as well. That's a 3:30 p.m. kick. So the Western Michigan is a 1-point favorite. This is a big, big game for the MAC conference. I mean, UB's playing good football right now. It's a big game for the MAC. Syracuse is off this week, and then they have Pitt next week if you're looking for that game. And of course, tonight, baseball again. Oh, man. Yankees against Guardians. Man, Yankees should have done it last night. Louis Hill against Gavin Williams tonight. I do not totally trust Louis Hill, but he can be great at times. He can be not great at times as well. The Yankees and the Guardians tonight. First pitch is scheduled for 8:08 p.m. And then also tonight we have, before that, Dodgers-Mets. Dodgers can wrap it up tonight. That's a 5:08 p.m. Eastern time start. I don't know. I wouldn't mind if the games were on at the same time. I don't love the 5 p.m. baseball starts. It's like, it's just too tough for me. Like, there's different things going on. I'm like, man, I missed half the game because I had stuff going on. It's 5 p.m., right? Like, you're still working. You're at dinner or whatever. I wouldn't mind if they had even, I don't know, 8 and, I guess, you know, West Coast. I don't want to go too late. I don't know, 7 and 8 would make a little
late
more
sense.
Late
on a Friday, though, is not
I get
bad.
Why they do it. They want the maximum audience for both.
But, like, a Friday, if you're late, you know, tomorrow's Saturday. If you don't have anything to do, you just stay up late and watch the baseball.
What do you got going on this weekend?
I am playing what looks to be my final round of golf tomorrow morning, which I'm excited to play, but I'm also not excited because it possibly my last round of golf of the year. And then I'm doing some fall stuff on Sunday before the game and just enjoying the game.
I did not thank Patrick Hammer. I need to do that as well because obviously he gave you the great forecast for this weekend to play some golf. And we'll be into he said mid-70s on like Tuesday. Well, that's awesome. That's my day off, man. Maybe I should
play
some golf.
I don't think it'll be my last round if that's the forecast on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know, right? Maybe want to get some in right there. All right, thanks a lot for hanging with me today. Thanks to Sean McDermott, Pat Hammer, and Paul Hamilton. Sabres Live up next. Have a great, great weekend. Bills Titans Sunday at 1 p.m. I'll be back on Monday with the reaction show on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.